With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located at the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 539, the box office report.
Oh my god, the not box office report.
The not necessarily the box office report.
I feel like
report.
There's all kinds of stuff that has happened that we haven't talked about.
It's been so long.
Wow.
Remember these? For the not necessarily week ending.
Welcome to January.
January 5th, 2020.
Yeah. The drugs of cinema.
Yes.
All drugs.
Dregs.
Yeah.
Or drugs, depending on,
on what you're seeing.
Yeah.
If you want to enjoy cats,
it would be helpful.
It would be helpful.
Couldn't hurt.
No. Couldn't make it any worse.
Even if you fell asleep because
I guess if you had a bad trip while it was happening, that could make it worse.
Did you not have a bad trip while it was happening when you were sober?
That's true.
They counteract each other.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, it wasn't that bad.
It's like if a merry-go-round's going clockwise and you run counterclockwise,
you look like Scooby-Doo.
You won't get dizzy.
Yeah. It's like Scooby-Doo running in place.
I'm just imagining how crazy that would look. Someone running around the opposite way of a merry-go-round. Oh, on the merry-go-round?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought around the perimeter of the merry-go-round.
No, and you run actually on it.
Yeah. That would make it look like it's going really fast.
So you're like, why is this merry-go-round going backwards?
I feel like that's something that Ari Aster wanted to put in Midsommar but didn't.
Yeah.
Like just that weird, trippy look.
Well, maybe we're back in time.
Maybe it's that director's cut.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Not on 4K. What's up with that?
I don't know.
No, I haven't seen it.
Neither have I. I don't know if I could. I don't know. I mean, the non-director's cut messed me up enough. I don't really need to see more of what...
You could do it.
I'm sure I could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be fine. Yeah. I think you'd make it through. I got
probably.
Faith in you.
Thank you.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. So while you're there, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. You can like the page and join the group, which is called the League of Show Sharers, and you can become a League of Show Sharer proper. People who were kind enough to share the episode this week, Griffin Fox-Smith, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Dylan A. Lang, Tammy Sherman-Powers, Lane LeVanway, Gabriel Lugo, Aaron Marlowe, Ryan Terry, Ron Johnson, Brent Smith, Chris Williams, Chris Sanders, Travis Tewitt, Tom Kaminsky, Chris Magic Man, Ralph Tribble, Zara Vandercreek, Julianne Jordan, Carl Clarkson, Susan Carlson, Anaya Brunson, and Glenn Brewer. So thank you very much for sharing the show. We
hearing those newer names come back.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's, I think, welcome to the League of Show Shares, Ryan, who's been a guest several times, but he shared the show. So
he shared
awesome.
A show without being a guest. So
there we go.
You get in. You get.
So Dan, add that to Dan's list of songs.
Songs and when he comes back.
Yeah, for the next Star Wars movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Wars episode 10 in 10 years.
Like, we're going to... I know we said we were
the
done
end
with
of
this.
A saga.
Yeah, we know we
for
said
the,
it was the end.
For
but...
the Baby Yoda side story.
Oh, well, I'd watch that. So
also don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month gets you all sorts of bonus content and the joy of having known that you helped out. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Any big news stories?
I mean, we had the we did not talk about the Black Widow trailer, which I feel like is the next phase of the MCU. So I feel like that should I called
it.
I mean, so we know it's a prequel. We don't really know where it falls.
I hope, yeah, if it's not a prequel, I'm very confused.
Well, I don't know where. I'm assuming it probably falls post Avengers, or maybe
she just gets up from the bottom of the pit.
I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. Like literally, it falls after Avengers. Right. She gets up. She's like, "Whew,
oh man, that was scary."
Quite a fall.
Yeah, thank God there was a mattress at the bottom of this.
So we have no idea where this lands in like the
falls lands.
I
just love
the
terminology.
There's nowhere to say it. But
occurs,
yeah,
you takes place.
Takes place, I guess. Both
it's just
of those
like
work.
Such a Freudian slip.
But yeah, so I think the thing that I'm most interested
trips
about
you out.
Is, sure, we'll keep going. Is David Harbour as the Guardian, which I think is hilarious.
Why is that?
Just he's the Russian Captain America, but obviously he hasn't been used as much as Captain America, so he's not like in shape, but he still has the same costume as like it's just like a Russian version of Captain America's costume.
Okay.
So it's just like I don't think he's as much of a joke in the comics, but it definitely feels like they're using
in real life.
They're using him for levity in this
movie. Especially with Stranger Things.
Right.
I mean, you know, he plays a badass character, but it's also
kind
funny.
Of dope.
Yeah, the Hopper stuff is funny. Yeah. And so I think that's it. Now, does he have powers?
I don't remember. He might, but they may not be. It may be like the Russian version of the super soldier serum.
Oh, okay. Like the knockoff. Like they tried to create it or something. Okay.
But the thing for
it's all based. It's vodka based.
That's right. Yeah. The whole thing.
Yeah.
Is Florence Pugh. Mm-hmm. And I said this when they announced this movie, but I think she is your Black Widow going forward.
I think that makes sense.
And she's had a ridiculous year.
Oh,
of 2019.
And since she's now in that Disney world, maybe she could play a stormtrooper.
Maybe. Who knows?
Pew,
why
pew.
Not?
Pew, pew.
But yeah, I thought that trailer looked really good. It looked kind of like the Captain America stuff, which is probably where she should fall.
And who's directing that?
I have no idea.
Is it a female director?
It might be.
I feel like that's the smart route to go. You know what I mean? Like, let's give a female director, like Patty Jenkins for Wonder Woman, and then, because I'm recalling that it is, that's why I asked. I think it is, but like, why would you not kind of recreate that success? That
Kate
worked?
Shortland.
There you go.
Well, has she done anything else?
Scrolling.
Shortland. It's a short list.
Short list, yeah. And you're all about the puns today.
Call me the Punisher.
Do they?
Well, your choice.
But yeah,
it looks like some TV stuff and something called Berlin Syndrome.
It's not she didn't do Mandalorian, did she?
It's not on her IMDb page if she did.
I know one of the directors of Mandalorian that directed some really good episodes is directing something. I just can't recall.
Oh, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Her episode was really good.
I liked her episode a lot. Yeah.
I did too. I thought that was great. So, but yeah, I like the Mandalorian has a lot of female writers, directors involvement, which is cool. They're doing that. That show ended on a great note.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think we've really talked about that much, but in the middle there, it was a little meandering, but it was kind of like story of the week kind of a thing.
Right.
You know, like, let's go here for the MacGuffin and we got it. Now let's go here. But there were stakes at the end of the penultimate episode. And then at the end, it's like, it's on.
Game on. Yeah. I'm interested to see. I guess nobody's really going to cancel Disney Plus. Let's be honest. Like, it's not like a, like, oh, the Mandalorian's
over. $4 a month. I don't know. I could either get this latte.
Well, supposedly season 2 is going to go into how Palpatine comes back.
Oh, really?
I saw that headline today.
Well,
I did not read the article.
No way. Are they really going to double down on more of that crap?
Why not?
Because
do you think they have unused footage?
They might.
And they're like,
we'll just throw it in there.
We can throw it in the show.
I wonder how that ties into him.
I just think it's a dumb.
I've only seen the first episode so far.
Oh, okay.
So it's a
dumb decision that was just like wedged in there because they didn't have Leia. And so like they had to create this and, you know, Snoke was gone. And the fact that if they're really going to like circle back and then do more, like I'm done with it. You know, like, okay, you did it. It was dumb.
I'm all right with
see
them.
A series about it. Come on.
Whatever. It's Star Wars.
Well, there's a rumor there's a 3-hour cut of the movie. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
And, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And,
oh, don't talk. Yeah. They're saying release the JJ cut. Release
right.
The Abrams
oh, I thought that
cut.
Was a joke.
No, I seriously muted that because that's a real thing.
I had no idea.
But yeah, they're saying that supposedly there's a 3-hour cut and that there was all sorts of Palpatine stuff and that. But this is all very much conjecture.
Sure. You're getting it from Cosmic Book News.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we got the Wonder Woman 84 trailer, which looks ridiculous. Like
it looks cool.
They've changed her costume a little bit. I can't tell if they've changed her costume or if they've brightened up since it's 1984. Like if they've,
you're not talking about the gold one, you're talking about her regular
her regular costume. Well, I mean the gold costume is Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
Like that's where that's from. But like I feel like the color palette of the entire movie has been turned up a little bit, and maybe because it's 1984, it's a little bit brighter.
They're going neon 80s.
They should make the whole movie look like you're watching it on VHS. Yes.
I kind of think that, like, I would love at least 20 minutes of that.
It'd be fun.
But, yeah, I kind of wanted them to use... Remember when they changed her costume to, like, that white and black spy suit? Do you remember that? Like, she went through a bunch of weird costume changes in, like, the 70s and 80s. And then finally, when George Perez took over the book, they're like, we're just going to put her back in the bikini and the halter top.
That's remember that one that everybody...
Hey, if it ain't broke.
I don't know, right? But yeah, at one point, she wore, like, it was like a long sleeve and, like, pants, like, white and black jumpsuit. And I was like, just put her in that for fun. Like, why not? What are you going to, you know, who cares?
For your fun.
Yeah, why not? That's a cool looking suit.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I don't really...
I have an article here from Cinema Blend, who is reporting based on The Hollywood Reporter on Tom Hooper's changes to Cats. Oh. Remember how there was an update? And yeah. Remember how you saw it post-update? And you're like, no, I saw every weird thing that was still in there. So according to The Hollywood Reporter, there were no content changes made to Cats in the new version. Tom Hooper, who is described as a very exacting director, decided to refine small things within the VFX, such as lighting, integrating, and the actor's performance time. Which seems kind of like
we need to cut Taylor Swift out of this movie.
The runtime remained at 1 hour 50 minutes. So it sounds like there was hardly any changes, and like they didn't. I guess they didn't fix like Judi Dench's
hand was absolutely still in
there with
movie.
A wedding ring.
Yes,
on.
Yes, yes.
So what else? Was that just free publicity? Then was that like?
Well, it didn't work.
No. So did they do something to Ad Astra? Did they re-release Ad Astra with like an updated version of something? Because I thought I saw somebody say that if Cats can do it and try to get like their name out there for an Academy Award, that Ad Astra should be able to do it as well.
They're not trying to get their name. They pulled all their four-year consideration ads for Cats,
Which is great. Yeah. They should. And
they should have left Song in the running, but I think at this point they just don't want any attention. Sorry about your EGOT, Taylor Swift. Yeah.
So, could you imagine for winning for Cats? Like, after all that,
it's like the guy that won for Suicide Squad. He's I got one.
Yeah. So, what happened, which is terrible for Ad Astra, but so, like, the Academy releases their shortlist of awards and it gets, like, pared down to nominations and stuff later. But on their shortlist for visual effects, Cats was on there and Ad Astra was not.
Oh.
And Ad Astra looks like it was filmed in effing space.
Yeah.
Ad Astra is amazing looking.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, you're going to tell me.
I thought the movie was a snooze.
It was fine. It looked great.
I mean, it was like, remember how Gravity felt like it was filmed in space?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Ad Astra was next level, just amazing looking. And so I just thought that was what a disgusting
thing.
Maybe
that's
thing,
what it was. Is that if they get to go back into theaters with like a new version of it,
that was probably what they
Ad
were
Astra
saying
should be also in the consideration.
Yeah,
as well.
And I don't think those two things are related. Like they might not have made a great point, but I think that's probably what spurred it. Was that there's this new version updated, and these people are probably like, well, why are they getting to do a different version that's somehow considered for Oscars still when Ad Astra wasn't on the list, but clearly it's better VFX than Cats.
Yeah, that's
a
given.
Yeah, that was just embarrassing. To even. Yeah.
Stupid Adam, stupid Cats.
Yeah, no, you get a do-over.
I don't really have anything.
The 20th movie in history to get an F cinema score was released this weekend.
Yeah, we're gonna we're gonna review it.
Okay.
Wait, the Gentleman didn't come out this weekend, did it?
No, that's in the UK. It's out. It's out at the end of January. Here.
That's the Guy Ritchie flick, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Some are saying it's a kind of a return to form to his, you know, fast talking mobster, you know, kind of
Matthew Vaughn
crime stuff.
Co-directed.
Did he come back? And then other people said it's horrible. So,
we'll
see.
Great.
I mean, Guy Ritchie's lost a lot of favor. I was saying it. I was talking to, you know, someone on the boards where I'm just like, at this point, Guy Ritchie, to me, is a hack. Like
I wouldn't call him a hack as much as like he's a studio guy and he just doesn't care.
But he's made a lot of bad movies. That Henry Cavill movie is the only enjoyable thing I can think
of. Henry Cavill movie.
Yeah, the Gentleman Spy movie, whatever that
Man from Uncle?
Yeah. Like that was fun, right?
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean he's made some really bad movies.
Yeah.
He made that King Arthur movie.
He did? That was him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He made King Arthur. He made Aladdin, which what the hell was going on?
I mean,
he
made money.
That's not him, though. That's Disney.
Yeah, like, which we know does not equate to... Right. I mean, the choices that he made as a director, we talked about it.
Yep.
Not happy.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
like, they're bad. So, I mean, Guy Ritchie has really...
Swept Away.
What the hell is that?
That was the Madonna one.
Oh, is that where he got swept away by or someone?
No, I think they were already together.
Oh, were they?
And she was like, "Hey, I want to do a movie." He's like, "Okay, babe. I'll direct your movie.
I am in the Directors Guild." I don't know if you know that, but pull a few strings.
He's like, "Wait, I'm not doing like Rock and Rolla and the other one with Jason Statham were like that was his answer to
Swept
Away."
So let's put the clues together. Good Guy Ritchie movies, crime stuff.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think I was done?
You gotta root for like the smart talking, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, he was really good at that, and I just feel like for some reason, I guess he did the Sherlock movies, which
they're fine.
I know you don't love them,
I like
Tom,
the first one a lot. The second one is whatever,
like,
but
the first like 40 minutes of the first one.
Oh man, I'm about that.
And
first
I think
one.
And I think those still kind of rely on the, you know, him. Seedy criminal.
Well, they also rely on Robert Downey Jr.
Well, and it's crazy charismatic Robert Downey Jr. Right. So, but anyway, so we'll see what happens with that. But I'm hearing mixed things, so I don't know if it's going to be great. But I do hear it's kind of more in that in his wheelhouse. So
hopefully we'll see. Yeah.
But okay, well, ready to look at the box office?
Sure.
Let's,
not box office. Yeah, I guess Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and looks like this weekend coming out on top is Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker, but as many outlets have been reporting, it's kind of doing the opposite of the Last Jedi did, the last movie.
Yeah.
So where this one came out really strong out of the gate, it's been having huge drops every week. Mm. Where The Last Jedi. I always want to say like Return of the Jedi, and then I'm going to say Rise of the Jedi. This one's Rise. I don't know why I get those confused, but episode 8.
You would think that Hollywood would be able to come up with... They're almost like Italian parents were just like, no, just name him after his grandfather.
Right.
Well, it's almost like they're messing with you because you can't just refer to The Last Jedi as Jedi,
right?
Because people get confused with Return of the Jedi.
Then I got to remember if they rose, did they return? Right. Did they?
I'm like, and then you can't like shorthand Rise of Skywalker as ROS because then people think it's return. Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, right.
Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Thank you. So there's a reason. In my head, I'm having to go through all these titles.
Ryan Johnson did it on purpose. He's like, no. They'll say the entire title of my movie.
So, number one was Star Wars with $36 million, but it's a 50% drop in week 3. So, and I mean, you're talking about coming off of a big drop last week. Now, don't get us wrong. It's making a ton of money. It's almost $500 million domestic.
But this feeds into my theory that the future of Star Wars is not in theaters.
I would bet $100 that
I'm not saying they're not going to release another theatrical movie, but I'm saying they're going to release a couple theatrical movies.
That's what I think.
And they're going to get their dicks kicked in the dirt.
Yeah.
And they're going to put it on TV.
But it's made $850 million worldwide in 3 weeks. That's a crap load of money, even if it's not $2 billion.
Right.
It's $1 billion in 3 weeks, like before these estimates are finalized. I get that it's not as successful, but there's so much drama with this trilogy. Like, if they can reboot this thing and make it good, like new characters, screw all this crap.
Well, yeah, I mean, true of anything if it's good. But I mean, I'm just saying, I think there are a lot of people that are like, Star Wars is done for me.
Yeah.
I think this is propped up by people. There's a lot of people that don't run out and see movies that run out and see Star Wars movies. And when that next one comes out, they are done.
You think
I don't
so?
Know. I don't think so. I think if they keep it tight, and to what you're saying, I think they release maybe one or two, maybe even one a year or one every couple
every
of years.
Every other year. I think I like the side story. Do the Obi-Wan. I guess it's going to be a show, but do the side story. Do the legit one. Not they're both not good, but you know what I mean.
No, I get
do
it.
Do the solo.
Yeah.
Do the Rogue One in between. Give it 2 years to breathe on the whatever trilogy saga they want to set up. But I just
bring in Josh Trank. Bring in the guys from Game of Thrones. It's going to be great.
Oh, God. Yeah, they need to
the
go.
The Star Wars franchise isn't great. So here's the other thing, though, is they've got Feige. And Feige will I have to believe we've been seeing this since 2008, is he will not allow...
Yeah, he's gonna have a
diminished Star Wars to be put out.
He's gonna walk in, and that's a great point though. The fact that they've got Feige on board, he's gonna have a roadmap. They're not gonna start one day of production without a freaking roadmap for where they're going, what it ties into, what TV show it ties into, what merchandise book it ties into.
Sure.
This guy is gonna lay it all out, and then he's gonna pick the people that he trusts, and he's gonna oversee it. And
I do wonder. If you're going to see a lot of crossover, you know, it's almost like when a new manager goes to like a sports team and he brings in his coaching staff.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if we're going to start to see crossover from like
Marvel people coming
into the Star Wars stuff. And maybe not like, well, obviously, what's his name? Totally drawing a blank. Iron Man director. John Favreau, has already made the jump.
Right, Mandalorian, you know? I was going to say.
So, like, maybe we see Joe Johnson in something, or maybe we see a Kenneth Branagh, probably not, but...
Tony Stark is... or, sorry, Robert Downey Jr.
is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Is like Toby-Wan Kenobi. It's all Marvel
But he's
people.
he's just wearing an Iron Man suit. You're like, wait a minute.
I think we've seen this already. But I'm from another planet called Earth, and I am here to...
That's going to happen. Like, you think for a second there's not going to be some way the Feige's like, can I get like an interdimensional portal?
Yeah.
Where I can get the Avengers like into the Star Wars
You
people?
Never see Earth and it's a galaxy far, far away, but if they can jump through.
They have the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well,
galaxy.
They would also need time travel because it's a long time
ago. Right.
That's right. And they've got it.
We've seen it, yeah.
Oh, man. Pay us now, Marvel. Or Disney.
Wait,
Disney.
Stop right
now.
Stop right now.
Shut up.
We can't get it.
Like, this sounds awful.
It sounds terrible. It sounds like a comic book. That's what it sounds like.
A bad comic book.
We'll see.
Yeah. What if? Archie versus Punisher bad.
Versus the Predator. When our movies bring Star Wars back to the theater and make $3 billion, James Cameron can suck it. You're not getting any credits. And we'll be back at the bracket.
But
compound.
I do think they maybe take a step back and release one every couple years, but I do think that we're going to see a lot of side stories, quote unquote.
If they don't get it
on HBO Plus,
if they don't get it right straight out of the gate, they're dead in the water.
First new trilogy has to be awesome.
Not even I wouldn't even do a new trilogy. Honestly, I would just do it a side story,
but
whatever that may be.
But the one they're setting up, the first of whatever,
that's the Rian Johnson stuff.
No, that is like, I mean, it's in kind of pre-production, but there's no set dates or anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing the Feige thing will be the first real. You know, new
I'd even take like some more Rey. Like I wouldn't mind seeing her as like a full fledged Jedi.
They gotta let that go.
I don't disagree, but I feel like her story is still a
viable
story.
There's no way they go back to that because that's still the Skywalker saga. She's Rey Skywalker. Spoilers.
I guess that's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's fair.
You're then going right back into what they just said they finished.
Yeah, that's fair.
They need to leave that alone. They've got to start new characters. Otherwise, you're not going to lose the nostalgia. Remember, all the controversy is surrounded by, oh my God, look what they did to Luke. Look what they did to Han. Look what they did to what, you know what I mean? Like, all this is, they're mad because they're taking characters they love and have nostalgia for, and they're killing them, misusing them in their mind. If they get a clean slate with new kick-ass characters, look at Rogue One. That's one of my favorite Star Wars movies of all time.
It's insanely good.
Yeah, it butts up to Episode 4, but all the characters before are new. And so they were great. Like, you know, like Jyn Erso's awesome. Mm-hmm. Cassian Andor's awesome. The Force is with me and I'm one with the Force guy. I can't remember
Donnie
his name. But the character name. You know what I mean? Like, they came up with badass characters that no one had ever heard about before. Mm-hmm. They were awesome. So,
and then killed them.
And then killed them all.
They, I mean, yeah. But that's what they need to do with a trilogy is come
and
up with
not
these
kill
new
them.
Awesome characters. Yes.
Or maybe make enough of them where you can kill some of them but keep the others.
Yeah. I like the stakes. I mean, you got K2SO.
Yeah, Alan Tudyk.
So good, right?
Oh, yeah.
So good.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. I think Rogue One is probably... Last Jedi and Rogue One are probably the two like standouts.
Yeah, I think The Last Jedi, and I know I'm going to catch some flack because people either love that movie or hate it, but I think The Last Jedi is the best Star Wars film ever made. The best made Star Wars film.
I think it's Jedi or Empire.
I still think it's Empire.
Really?
And I like Last Jedi, but...
I think it's Empire.
Yeah.
I mean...
Empire makes you... Like, at the end of Empire, just like... What do we do
and
now?
It's a great movie. I just mean as far as filmmaking goes, cinematography, you know, just everything that has to do with filmmaking. I just feel like The Last Jedi is...
Sure.
I mean, Rian Johnson's such a student of film.
I agree.
And has so much influence by all the stuff that he's studied and pays homage to so much. It just feels like a really sound film. And so I don't debate that Empire's great. It's just I think it's the best film. And then I go to Rogue One.
Rogue One is
so good.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I know we've got the Obi-Wan series. You know what? I'm always surprised. Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Ewan McGregor got a raw deal. Like, he should have. He did.
He was in bad movies, but no one says Ewan McGregor sucked.
He was great.
Right?
He was great.
Everyone is clamoring.
I feel like he was the only one out of that entire trilogy that knew how to work CG. Like, there was no point in that movie where you're just like, what the hell is he looking at? Like,
I thought Qui-Gon was good. I mean.
Yeah, but he's in him for like.
I know, it sucks, but I mean, it's like Liam Neeson was really good in those movies,
sure,
I think.
Sure, But the character I'm always surprised that they've never touched is Luke. Like, there's never been a Luke solo comic series. There's never been anything about Luke. And I feel like that's the one character who's like, yeah, what happens after Jedi? Like, I want to know. Tell me more. But like,
I think you kind of, but you got it. And
but there's a huge gap between, okay.
No, but you got the flashback that he went to train Jedi. Like, he became a master. And
yeah, but he already had the beard. He didn't have a beard in Jedi. So like, there's time between when he grew a beard.
1 week later. No, so we got a break. What do you guys
think? I would kind of like him to, you know, to see him be that badass Jedi going through the galaxy and doing missions or fighting off, you know, the Sith that's still...
I'm sure in 10 years when they get the technology perfected, when there's no Uncanny Valley, I'm sure Mark Hamill will voice it and it will be young
or
Luke
do an animated
just
series.
Like him. Yeah. You know, it's like,
go get yourself, go hire Bruce Timm and Paul Dini and have them do like a Batman the Animated Series looking Luke Skywalker.
Or just do de-aging and have Scorsese direct it.
Sure.
What could go wrong?
Oh, I don't know. Not knowing
Here's
how to
Luke
throw.
Luke when he's 20.
Why is he all hobbled like that? No, sorry, Mark Hamill. I know he listens to the show.
Yeah. Mark.
Every week.
Mark.
Every week.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Like,
we don't read his name on League of Show Shares because we don't want
to
be.
He asked to be left off the League of Show Shares.
We don't like the name drop.
Right. Yeah. But thanks, Joe.
Sorry. So just lost a listener.
Well, I'll just cut that out.
Oh, good.
No. So, number two, Jumanji, The Next Level, $26 million. God, that movie. This is, ugh.
Here's the thing. It's a big, dumb family movie.
Yeah. If you want to go check your brain, I didn't like it, but I get the appeal is like, let's go laugh.
It wasn't
Kids
awful.
Can see it.
No, it was dual. It was,
but anyone can watch it and get some chuckles and get some action. I get it. This is like the epitome of the popcorn family movie.
Exactly.
It serves its purpose. But 26% drop in week four. So look at that. I mean, you're talking about 26 in week four. Star Wars is 36 in week three.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
The Rock is the new Qui-Gon Jinn. We're bringing him back.
Do you see him working out for Black Adam? Good Lord.
I mean,
not that the guy's not huge,
but his veins have veins
with other veins that are doing crunches and bicep curls, and then veins are popping out of those. Like, dude, the guy looks insane.
That's a movie. That's a movie and a character that I find very interesting because The Rock's never been a villain, and Black Adam is a villain.
Didn't he just do something? Maybe Black Adam's gonna be the first. But I thought we talked about that, and I thought The Rock did something.
He's never been a. I don't.
Yeah,
think, I
maybe
mean,
we were just talking about like Pain and Gain. And
I said Pain and Gain, but.
He's a bad guy, not a
villain.
But
Black Adam, like, is a villain. Like, so he's a villain.
He's an anti-hero in Pain and Gain? Kind of like.
And I mean, he's.
Because he's not the bad guy.
If memory serves, he was like, he was with the bad guys, but he was also kind of dumb.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of more just kind of pulled in.
Here's the thing that people forget about The Rock, is that dude was the hottest bad guy in wrestling. He was, though. Like, he was.
Joe means the hottest.
Both. Granted, he had Stone Cold Steve Austin to play against.
That hair.
Who was the hottest babyface at that time. But he was untouchable. So he can be a bad guy. Like, and he's a good bad guy. Mm-hmm. But Black Adam, like, is a good guy in his country. Mm. Where, like Kandak, I think is the name of it. But he's a bad, like, outside of his country, he's not a good guy. Like, he's the opposite of Captain Nersha's.
Yeah,
name,
I'm going to see how they... I'm curious to see how they play that because for The Rock's whole brand, like, I feel like they're not going to make him a straight up bad guy. So he's going to be like a misunderstood that will eventually.
It would be interesting to see when the crossover happens with Captain Shazam. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see that. That would be a very interesting dynamic with what's his name? Zach Levi doing like the hey, gee golly shucks. And then Black Adam being like, I'm gonna take your face off.
God, no matter, just please don't do that Hobbs and Shaw thing where they both just bicker with each other for 30 minutes with their faces in the camera.
I forgot about that.
Oh, Shazam, you look like a tap dancing ballerina. You know, like, hey, I just don't want to hear that crap.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Unless they kiss.
Whoa. Oh. That would be a twist.
Now that's a movie.
That's a twist. Yeah, it's just a twist. So anyway, but Jumanji is the $235 million. So I mean, granted, it's $200 million less than Star Wars, but it's not Star Wars. It's Jumanji 3.
Right.
Like, what on earth? They really? I mean, it's like they caught lightning in a bottle and somehow have managed to keep it there.
Yeah,
because
they got a little bit left in it.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I never, I mean, when that second one came out, we're all just like, what?
Yeah, well, that's quick, yeah. But all right.
So it's made almost $300 million overseas, so it's up over half a billion in 4 weeks.
That's a lot.
Definitely accomplishing its goals, that's for sure. Number three, Little Women. Look at that, doing the box office. That's really, for a movie like that, you know, it's pretty much a little art house movie.
Starring Florence Pugh.
Yes, starring a lot of great actors. But $13 million is a 22% drop in week two. So they released that around the holidays. That was a great timing for it, and people aren't slowing down. So $59 million domestic on that one. And I don't know if that one is overseas or not. Let me see if there's any.
Well, they don't have women overseas. So I don't know if there's much interest.
You're wrong, Tom. $6 million overseas.
I don't think he's completely wrong then.
Just expats. It probably hasn't, but also it probably hasn't rolled out.
That's true.
Like, this isn't a movie that you necessarily, I wouldn't think that they roll out as aggressively as a Star Wars or a Jumanji. Right. So it's probably like, when it gets there, it'll be fine.
Yeah. But you know, the thing about this movie, and you saw it.
Yes.
It's really good. Yeah. I mean, I totally get. There's this whole thing around the internet like, oh, of course men aren't going to like it, which is totally untrue. Just because you're a man doesn't mean you're not going to like it.
Right.
I get how it's maybe not targeted to you.
Right.
But it's a
and
really well done.
That's okay.
Right. But it's like, but it's a really well done movie. I love how
mad people get when I shouldn't say people, men.
Men. Yeah.
When they're like,
incels.
They made a movie that's not for me?
Yeah. Yeah. How dare they?
Yeah, this has never happened.
You know, if you go to the theater, 85% of it is for you.
Right.
Sounds low.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, the movie is great. It's Greta Gerwig wrote and directed it, you know, and who's.
I think the thing I like the most about this movie, I haven't read tons of reviews, but I haven't really found anybody that mentioned this, is that the way they talk is very modern.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cadence and the back and forth. Like a lot of times when you make movies like this, it's like, they
posh,
all have
like that posh British.
Yeah, and they have this weird British
like
accent, even if
piece.
They're American, and everything's very staid, and the lines are delivered very slowly, so you can understand.
Like if you watch Pride and Prejudice, it's very.
But what about
much...
Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies?
They do the same thing.
Yeah. They do, yeah.
Yeah. Where this one, it's like they talk, like they don't use, it's not anachronistic, like what they're saying or like they're not using like modern slang or anything.
Right.
Jay-Z isn't doing a remix in the background.
Right. But they speak in the manner that people today speak. They're, you know, and you know, when they get excited and they're all talking over each other and it's not, you know, and
Greta Gerwig is a really good writer and it shows, and she's proven herself as a really good director too with Lady Bird.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my favorite movie of the year. The thing with this movie is you've got her writing, you've got her directing, who she's more than capable in both those arenas. And then the cast that you have, Florence Pugh, like you mentioned, though. But then you have Saoirse Ronan, you have Emma Watson. Who else is in the
film? Is this kind of like the next generation of, or I guess the new generation of British actresses?
Well,
I mean, Saoirse Ronan, I guess, is...
I mean, Emma Watson's British, yeah.
Isn't Florence Pugh British?
Is she?
I think she is.
I think she is.
I can't remember that.
And Saoirse Ronan is Scottish?
No. He's Irish.
Irish.
So, but then, so then you have Laura Dern as the mom.
All right, not her.
And then you have Meryl Streep as the...
Also not her.
Well, if Blanche...
I guess Meryl Streep can be whatever she is.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, Florence Pugh is from Oxford.
Yeah.
Okay, so she is. But it's a great cast. You've got a great cast. You have a great script and director. But like Tom said, it also, it's weird because it walks that line of being modern, yet not anachronistic.
Right.
There's this modern flair to it, and it has a pacing and a very unique style of the storytelling, but yet it's still the characters and pretty much the story you know, but with this modern flair. And it's really done delicately as to not upset fans of the source material, but
so
also...
So it's a reverse Romeo and Juliet.
That's super anachronistic.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it was set in modern times.
Yeah.
I'll never forget going to that. They start talking, I was like, you mother...
I love that movie. I think the movie's brilliant.
Okay. Well, I get it.
It's all, and that's before people were trying to do a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, for
sure. Baz Luhrmann has that flair.
Is that Baz Luhrmann?
I'm a big fan of his. I've still never seen Australia, though, just because I heard so many bad things about it.
I think it's the bad one, right? Like,
it was pretty slow. Although, that scene where they're stampeding cattle, that's a great scene.
Yeah, I remember I feel like that may have been.
I'm a huge Hugh Jackman fan. Yeah. Like, that, I just.
I feel like at Blockbuster, you know, they had like that trailer tape.
Yeah.
And I'm almost positive that scene is all. I remember like putting movies away and looking up and be like, holy Christ.
That's a good scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to give it a shot sometime. I like Baz Luhrmann a lot. Like, I really liked his Gatsby, which I know was kind of hit or miss with people. Like, I'm a fan of his. I heard so many bad things about it. And I know I shouldn't.
That's Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman.
And Hugh Jackman, yeah. Huge Jackman. Huge Jackman. Before he was Huge Jackman. He was just Hugh Jackman back then.
No. That's Wolverine.
No, that was post-Wolverine.
But he wasn't.
You mean like Days of Future Past?
Yeah, he wasn't Hugh Jackman yet. That name was given to him as, you know, he was in movie 4, 5, 6 and somehow got bigger.
Right. It was Days of Future Past where he stands up and he's like, Jesus.
And then in The Wolverine, he was super ripped. Remember like the...
Was he?
It, with an 8-pack and then his obliques were like... Oh, yeah, that's right. Insane.
The Wolverine was where he had the story about how, like for that one scene... Like
he had to dehydrate himself.
He had to dehydrate himself. So,
I thought that was Days
of
Future Past is that scene where he wakes up in like the hotel room and he's hooked up with like the mob boss's daughter and the guys storm the room and shoot him and he flexes and like all of the bullets come out as he flexes. And I'm pretty sure that. But
let's
the movie
where Hugh Jackman flexes as Wolverine.
Yeah. Oh, that one.
Choose your adventure. Sure. And go ahead. But anyway, so.
Remember that episode of Three's Company where there was the misunderstanding about the rent?
I'm telling you, get Taron Egerton. That's your Wolverine.
We'll see. Yeah. Or that Eastwood kid. Well, that's
Taron Egerton can talk.
That's right. Like, that's right. I forgot. That other one's not good.
I'll tell you what. Eastwood looks.
I know.
He looks like he could be Wolverine.
I said it because you touted it so much. Then we saw him in movies.
You're
like, and I'm
never
like,
mind. Yeah. Or Wyatt Russell.
There you go.
Yeah,
he's okay. I'm not sold yet on him.
We'll find out in Winter Soldier.
So, but anyway, Little Women is up to around 68 to 70 million after 2 weeks. So, I mean, it's doing really well. So check that out and don't let the stupid internet stuff. I mean,
do you think she's the breakout star of last year?
Pew?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was in a ton of stuff.
I don't know how she can't be.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Number four, The Grudge somehow.
Name recognition alone, maybe?
I guess. This is going to have
It's the only new movie.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
This is going to have a 90% drop next week.
Easily.
You know what I mean? Like, just mark my words. We're going to look at it next week, whether we do a report or not.
I had to do research, too. I was like, what?
I'm glad. I told Tom, like, Joe better be here on this episode, because I have no idea what the hell is going on with this series.
I'll tell you. Okay. I got you covered.
So anyway, $11.5 million opening weekend. It is, as we mentioned, the 20th movie in history to get an F cinema score, the coveted F.
I feel like that's...
I mean, if you...
You know what? Honestly, if I'm going to get a bad grade with cinema score, give me the F. Like, not enough people have done it.
Well, then they need to talk it up. Maybe they will, but they're not touting that quite yet. But
what the last movie to get an F was?
No.
Mother.
Was it really?
Isn't that crazy? Oh, people online, because we're in the minority with that one, and people are like, well, screw Cinema Score, because that's a masterpiece.
No, it's not.
F. Yeah. But that's...
I actually just watched that.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible.
Wait a minute, hold on. You didn't watch it back when we did the episode?
No, I wasn't here.
Yeah. So you just watched it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's terrible. It's a mess.
Wow, a fresh take. See, because I didn't realize you had
no,
watched
I had never,
all
I had
time.
Never. Well, like, you know, I heard you guys talk. I was like, nope, not wasting my time.
So you agree with us.
No, it was absolutely terrible.
Well, this is a safe space for hating that movie.
This is a safe space for Shape of Water.
Yeah, I know.
Mother.
That's true. Yeah.
Anything by Terrence Malick. Sorry. Yeah.
But no, I like Badlands. I got through, I guess.
What was that from, like, 80s?
One of his 70s.
That was his first movie.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, it's been a while.
I think I was 35 to 40 minutes in. I was like, all right, I see what we're doing. And then it's just like, all right, this is terrible.
Yeah.
That's why we have a picture of Tom eating a baby.
If you ever want to know what the origin story is for that. Yeah. So anyway, I don't have any other info on The Grudge, but we'll talk about it next episode. Frozen 2 coming in at number 5 with $11.4 million, though. No surprise here. 33% drop in week 7, $449 million domestic. Joe, you want to take a guess on the international or the overseas?
I'm going to give it a billion.
It's pretty close. $800 million before this weekend's totals are finalized. So
over the holiday, Bella wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. Well, she didn't want to see it originally, and then I was, you know, finally she was like, okay, I'll go.
Oh, that's right, because you said, oh, she's growing out of that.
She said that. She's like, I don't like it. She loved it.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what did you like about it? She's like, I don't know, it just felt different. I get to feel more grown up. And she was like, yeah.
Dealing with stuff. And like I was like, Olaf.
Okay.
You know, they do a lot of stuff in that movie where they're like, Olaf's like, I'm angry. And, yeah. and she's like, it's okay, you should be angry.
She goes, are they going to kill Olaf? I said, no. She said, okay.
Oh, would it happen? She's yeah. like, are they really going to? Yeah. Help? Yeah. Please.
I said, no.
Said, that's, okay. You have about as much chance of that as turning Rey evil. Yeah. I mean,
but yeah, it was funny to see her. She does. She is like the Brian Spath of 8-year-old movie
really?
Critics. Yeah, she like. So we were watching the trailers for the new Pixar one.
Yeah,
and I was like, "What do you think of that?" And she was like, "Eh." And I was like, "Really?" You know, like middle thumb. And I was like, "Really?" And then we saw is it Soul?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that got a little bit of an uptick. And then Frozen 2 got a big old thumbs up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe she might be at that age to where everything's kind of like, oh, that's not right.
Yeah,
and then
right.
she sees it like Frozen 2.
She's watching
like,
that
yeah.
stupid salmon cat show on Nickelodeon.
That's, you know, that's the problem, too. She's at the age yeah. where these kids just want to watch YouTube videos. And
well, salmon cat is.
Or like little short, you know, 15-minute shows or whatever. Like
Ariana Grande.
They're not into
something, yeah. some other girl. But
that age, they're just not as much into movies. They're into that. It's that short attention span. Get me the next thing, you know.
But yeah, she was all about it. I was like, oh, man.
So
weird.
Yep. So no surprise there. So over $1.2 billion in 7 weeks. Another win for Disney. Number six, Spies in Disguise, the other animated movie that came out a couple weeks ago, which I heard is actually pretty good. Did you see it, Tom?
I did not.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying like totally a revelation or anything,
right.
but I heard it's pretty fun. That's the Will Smith turns into a bird. He's a spy that
Will
gets
Smith
turned into a pigeon.
Tom Holland.
Okay.
And Tom Holland. Yeah. I heard it's really fun, though. $10.2 million is a 24% drop, so it's up to $46.8 million domestic.
Did you see the article that compared Tom Holland's character design in Spies in Disguise and then his character design in whatever the new Disney Pixar movie is?
No.
They look exactly the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the character designs are almost identical.
Did either one or both of them make it try to look like Tom Holland?
I mean, it doesn't look like Tom Holland, okay. but I just thought it was kind of funny.
I was thinking if that was their inspiration, maybe it would, but that's really
But like
weird.
The one kid is a human, the other kid's like an orc.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
So just, but they have very similar designs.
Oh, so that reminds me real quick because we didn't talk about it in the news, but the Uncharted movie starring Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Travis Knight out.
Why do I know? Should I know who Travis Knight
He's
is?
He's the CEO of Leica and the director of Bumblebee.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that would have been good. Dang. I was really excited for that scheduling conflict, they say.
That's what happens when you announce things so far out. Yeah. And then
that movie's been in pre-production for like 7 years.
Too. Yeah, but then it was Nathan Drake as an adult, right? And then they've just,
in the last two years,
they made it a young
I'm
young
sure
Nathan
Travis
Drake.
Knight's like, yeah, I'm making some big movies here. Like, I got to get my schedule, and they're probably dragging their feet trying to figure this out. And
I always wonder how that works. I guess you're contracted for the movie, but I wonder if it goes past a certain date.
Yeah, I think
you can, like,
of them
see
have.
I'm out.
Have drop dead.
Yeah,
dates.
Definitely. Okay. So, like, once you sign that contract, you know, but yeah, if it's.
And that's why they have, like, pay or play deals,
right.
or, you know, what was it?
Was Marlon?
Marlon Wayans, who got like $10 million
Robin,
to not
yeah.
play
yeah.
Robin.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because it's like if they're going to tie you up and stop you from getting other
right.
work, they can't just drop the project and say, sorry, you're out of the
yeah.
job.
Right.
You know, like it's.
Well, Nicolas Cage, what, got $20 million for not playing Superman?
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep.
Yeah. But went and bought that comic book, and then old lady made him sell it.
Old lady made him sell it. I think the tax man made him sell it.
No, he sold that before.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. But that's, tax man.
No, he came knocking and he started making some real interesting movies.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But anyway, $16 million overseas. So it's up over $60 million. And I don't have a budget on that one either. The new update doesn't have budget. So sorry for the lack of those. Number seven, Knives Out with $8.8 million. 11% drop in week six.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Word of mouth on that, as we predicted, I think.
Yeah.
Said, word of mouth on this is going
to
be crazy.
I've sent so many people to that movie.
Yep.
And every one of them has come back and been like, thank you.
I have not heard or seen on the internet, real life, one person go, Knives Out, like
no,
not
yeah.
one person.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I do find it funny that Rian Johnson is still in the top 10 against Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Rian Johnson movie still like, not kicking his butt, but it's still hanging in
but
there.
But the
right,
ratio,
Star Wars.
I mean,
yeah,
the budget.
Sure. Right.
So it's made over $100 million overseas. So it's now up.
That's awesome.
It's approaching like $250 million worldwide, and it had a budget of $40 million.
Give me more from
you want the series?
I don't know. Like, I don't know if
Benoit Blanc.
I don't know if I want yes, I do, but I also like everybody together. Like, yeah. I like this entire cast
together. I don't
want
together. The whole... I mean, yes.
Not the whole family, but as, like, an ensemble. You know, like, have them come back as different characters.
Yeah, that's what that's
oh,
what I would do.
Yeah, I get
is treat it.
Okay.
It like a repertory company.
Yes,
that's
yeah.
fine. Okay,
and
that
you can
work.
You can have your... Benoit Blanc as, like, your linchpin.
Yeah,
but
sure.
then everybody else can play... You know, like, maybe the gal who was... Who's the gal in this movie? The one who's, like... The main gal. The new Bond girl.
Oh, Anna de Armas.
Yeah, make her the bad guy. You know,
oh,
like
yeah,
have them play, you know,
okay.
or Jamie Lee Curtis is the mousy
yeah.
one, you
okay.
know, things like that.
Yeah, they were all really good. I mean, that's the thing is that the script is really smart and clever, but the cast, they're all firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's no weak point in the cast. And yeah, every time someone walks on scene, opens their mouth, it's a delight.
Like a Christopher Guest movie.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, that is doing quite well. Number 8, Uncut Gems. That's the movie from last week. $7.5 million, a 22% drop. So $36 million domestic on that. And there's buzz for, not. I guess Golden Globes will be done by the time you're listening to this. But he's won some awards already, and there is buzz about at least an Oscar nomination. And some people think he might be able to do it.
I mean,
it's a tough year.
I don't think he's going to be able. I mean, I think he deserves the nomination for sure.
But Adam Driver, Joaquin Phoenix, Leonardo DiCaprio again.
That's kind
like,
of a... That's, I mean, I can't think of another time where there have been that many heavy hitters.
Right. I mean, this
like,
is
in the,
packed.
Yeah, this is a tough year.
Could you imagine, though, Adam Sandler beating Joaquin Phoenix for an Oscar?
No.
Just those words, just on paper.
Well, it was almost like, what was the year that Denzel Washington lost? Did he lose for Glory?
No,
well,
he won
for
Glory.
Glory.
He won Best Supporting for Glory.
But he won for Training Day.
And then
Day.
He won Best Actor for Training Day.
But wasn't that like a kind of a makeup Oscar?
I mean, just for his career in general.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I felt like he had done something like 2 years prior.
No, I mean, Philadelphia. I mean,
Malcolm
X. I mean, yeah, he's got a lot of great stuff on his resume.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember a particular
The Equalizer?
Upset, but.
Yeah.
No?
Okay.
Yeah, The Equalizer.
And that was like 10 years later.
Yeah, right.
But The Equalizer was fun, though.
Yeah, no,
we liked
sure,
that
sure,
movie.
Sure.
I mean, it was a...
Yeah, I did. It was bored.
Oh,
the first one's a fun movie.
That was pretty cool.
Second one is a little mad.
Doesn't he... And I remember in the second one, doesn't he like go pretty crazy? There's some like violent
there's
stuff
some,
in that,
yeah,
there?
There's that whole scene where he takes... Actually, I just watched this scene. I don't know why. But it's where he... Like they... The frat bros...
Yeah.
Like... Do some bad things to a girl, and then he comes back in, and the guy locks the door. He's like, "Yeah, you picked the wrong house, Gramps."
Oh, yeah.
And then he, of course, destroys everybody in the room.
Remember that? Was it the first or second one with the warehouse scene where they put the sprinklers on so they could have a fighting in the rain scene? But
I don't know.
Sprinklers from a Costco or whatever.
I think that's the first one because the second one ends in a hurricane.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. It does.
Yeah,
you're right.
Wait,
yeah, that's right.
Was there a heist?
No.
Is it a hidden?
Sadly, no.
Is this a hidden shared universe? Hurricane Heist? Equalizer?
Oh, man, what a garbage movie. Was that this year?
No, that was last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's been a while.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Sorry to remind you that
I
existed,
know.
Though. Number 9, Bombshell, $4 million, so only a 17% drop for that one. So pretty solid box office this week overall. $24 million domestic on that one. And let's see. Nope, don't have an overseas pulled up, so we'll just skip that. And rounding out the top 10, Joe's favorite film of 2019, Cats.
I mean, it was the first one that I saw in 2019.
No, not 20. It was 2019, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't your first one.
Of 2019?
Cats?
Yeah. That was the first movie I saw in 2019. In theaters?
I'm confused.
I think you mean 2020.
Sorry, yeah, 2020. Yeah. Yes, that's what I meant.
Oh.
Yes, I'm with you. Thank you. I was, yeah.
But so you saw it in.
Yeah.
Today is the 5th.
Yeah, but we didn't do it that way. I mean,
a week ago.
The time of the episode was.
I don't think so.
Oh, maybe
so,
not.
Joe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's, you're right. It is.
We're on the 5th and we record every week.
Because I jokingly said that it was a toss up between that and Black Christmas for the worst movies of the year.
Sorry. Like, I honestly was so confused at what you meant. Because I'm like the first of, and then I'm like 20. But, okay. Anyway.
No, you're right.
So, you stand corrected. Joe's favorite film. Just under the wire for 2019.
Yes.
Cats. $2.5 million. Somehow, you people, and not you, because I know our listeners aren't these people, but people spent $2.5 million on this movie, and it had to be out of sheer curiosity.
I would say at least half of that is morbid curiosity.
Easily.
There's no way. So $24 million domestic.
Yikes.
On a $95 million budget. Overseas, $20 million. So it is up to $45 million on a $95. So... I mean, it's got to make at least 200 to break even. They're going to lose at least 120,
yeah, that's what
$130 million.
I think Cinema Blend said that they're going to lose at least $100 million.
But this is one of those rare exceptions. I mean, I don't root for people to fail, but...
I do.
I mean...
When you... When, here's,
but I don't want to encourage them. That's the problem. That's what I mean? Like I'm not, you know, people like different stuff, whatever. And I hate to just be mean to be mean, but if studios are releasing crap like this and it makes $1 billion,
yeah,
we're going to get more crap. Right. They need to understand this cannot happen again.
No.
You know,
so, well, we've got a little time. Tom, what would you, if you were to say, if you could think about it, what was your top three movies of the year?
I know my favorite two movies easily, Knives Out.
Yeah.
And Booksmart.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then maybe 1917.
I can't wait to see that.
I know we haven't reviewed that one yet.
I'm excited to see that.
But I'm technically embargoed, but this podcast, I don't consider it for local contention.
So
I feel like I can talk about it here.
Yeah,
I don't see
why not.
That movie is amazing.
Next level.
What about yours?
So I think it's Knives Out, Hollywood, Midsommar. And probably Avengers.
Okay, that's not three.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking like that's kind of like interchangeable.
Okay.
And then I actually have I have Booksmart on the agenda tonight.
Gotcha. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't seen it?
No.
Oh,
no.
You're in for
I'm
a
really
treat.
I feel bad that I haven't seen it. I've really wanted to watch it. What about you?
Marriage Story.
Oh, good call.
It's hard. It's a pretty strong year. Uncut Gems. I'm going to go Marriage Story. Uncut Gems is my number 2, and God, there's so many to go in and out of that third spot. It's just kind of crazy.
That's why I was like, Avengers. Like,
I know. And Avengers Endgame is very high on like the I enjoyed it entertainment factor.
Yeah.
Where I just think like I loved that movie. I thought they did so well with it.
It was a great movie, and they stuck the landing.
That's not easy to do.
Yeah. That's the thing.
A lot of threads,
Star Wars. A lot of threads to pull together.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go Knives Out.
All right. Yeah. So, it was a really impressive year.
The last,
like, 2019 was
last
a really.
Couple, like, November, December.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the year kind of started off slow because you guys asked me halfway through the year, like, what's my favorite movie? It might have even been Tom that asked that time. And I'm like, I can't even tell you. And I think you said Endgame at that point.
Yeah.
And like, I did love Endgame, but halfway through the year, I couldn't even name one. I'm like, oh, I mean, there were some I liked.
You were like Crawl.
Right. Oh God. If I said Crawl, it was really,
I gotta tell you, there's another movie that people in the horror community absolutely adore.
I know.
And
they
it's just
love
like,
it.
I don't get it.
I did not like that movie at all.
No.
And people are like, Crawl is amazing.
On that Shockwaves podcast, one of them put it in their top 10 of the year.
Well,
a top 10 horror movies of the year. Yeah, I was like, slim pickings.
And
all right.
Friend of the show and show share, Ryan Terry. He loves it.
Did he really?
10.
Yeah. Oh, didn't Tarantino say it was like the best movie of the year? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, you made the best movie of the year. So let's pump the brakes.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I mean, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I couldn't remember that.
You know, when I put Knives Out in for that third slot,
yeah.
I mean, that's interchangeable.
I love that movie.
So good. Yeah. So that's my little lateral there, or whatever we want to call it.
That works.
Right?
It's not an audible. Okay. That's a lateral.
I learned.
Yeah.
So, but that is the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and people can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Find us wherever you get your podcasts and be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And of course, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/real spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle The Grudge. Until then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.